I had somebody texted me, it was a pastor. They said, I don't permit the Christmas tree on the stage, and I don't have Christmas trees in my church. Am I wrong or am I right? I said, I think you are wrong. The Christmas has many symbols. And sometimes we try and do away with that because we say, well, Christ was not born on the 25th of December. And that's not the day of his birth, but we still celebrate that. Hallelujah. And even if you don't have a birth certificate, if you're alive, it means that you were born somewhere. And the fact that you're here means you were born whether you have a birth certificate or not. And we celebrate the birth of Christ at the end of the year. And it's a good time to celebrate that. And even if he wasn't born at the end of the year, we still need a holiday. And we might as well have a good one. Are you all right?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. We are in, Hebrews chapter 4. I was going to preach on Christmas, but that can wait another time. Well, the children did well. The staff and helpers, great, fantastic. We're in Hebrews chapter 4, and I'm reading from verse 1. I'll make some comments as I go along. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. God may promise many things. And it's not the eloquence of the preacher. It's the hearing of those that hear. God can promise you things that will never come to pass, but it's not because God is unfaithful. It says here, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those that heard it. So you can have the best preachers on the planet, and you can listen to them and still go to hell on roller skates. And it's not the preacher's fault. It's not the fault of the Word of God. The Word of God will do you no good unless it is mixed with faith inside of you. And God does not care whether you are British, Filipino, Samoan, Korean. It's not determined by your brain. It's determined by your heart. And God may set you for heaven and you hit hell on roller skates. God's intention is that everyone enjoy the fellowship of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost forever and ever and ever. That's God's promise. And to seal that promise, God's Son died. Before you were born, God's Son died on the tree of Calvary to seal that promise that God wants to fulfill that promise. And yet, even though God's Son died and the promise is valid, you will go to hell forever unless you mixed the promise with faith inside of you. You don't mix it in your head. You mix it in your heart. Many people try to understand God with your head. God made your head. The pot can't say to the potter, how did you make me? The pot can't ask you when you're cooking it. In it. The same way you can't ask God that, because God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts and his ways are higher than our ways. As far as the heavens, have you ever looked up to the heaven? And have you ever looked down? That's how far God's thoughts are from yours. And yet, your thoughts try to understand that, God? So God may promise you the earth. He may promise you the heavens, and you get hell unless you appropriate the promises of God by faith inside of you. Even if Jesus Christ was to preach to you, unless you appropriate that by faith. You say, Pastor, if Jesus preached when he was on earth, they still crucified him. Until you mix what you hear with faith inside, whatever God promises will profit you absolutely nothing. And the Bible says these people heard the word of God, but they never entered in. They missed on God's promise because they did not mix it with faith. When you eat taro or potato or roast, you mix it in your mouth with your saliva. If you don't, you can't swallow the stuff on its own. It will not go down. It has to be mixed. It's the same way you have to mix the word of God that you hear with faith. You can't bake the ingredients. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't bake the ingredients. You have to mix the ingredients together. You may have the egg, you may have the milk, you may have the butter, you may have the sugar, but they don't form a cake by just baking them. You have to mix it together and then bake it to get a cake. You don't get a cake by the ingredients. You have to mix the ingredients. And these people had the good news preached to them, but the good news of the gospel did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith inside the hearer. Are you okay? So it says here, for we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. That's an amazing thing. God promised them rest, and then God swore they'll not enter it. You didn't get that. God promised them rest, then God swore they'll not get it. Why did God say that and then change his mind? I thought God never changes his mind. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God made a breach of that promise because they did not believe. Are you okay? They didn't believe. You know, it's amazing in a human being. We believe bad news, no problems. When it comes to good news, we have a difficult time believing good news. We believe the worst in people. We believe the worst in things. We never see anything good many times because we live in a fallen world. Are you all right? I know a guy who went to the doctor and the doctor said, nothing wrong with you. Went home again. Come back and the doctor said, oh, there's nothing wrong with you. Come back again. And then the doctor said, I think you got pneumonia. And then come back again. He was still, long time. Then he went back to the doctor and the doctor said, I think you got cancer. He died in 13 days. He died in 13 days. Why? Because he believed bad news. And there are many people who never live their lives because they don't enter into the redemptive work of Christ. And some people don't believe that God is good. Some people don't believe God can heal. And therefore, many people never fulfill their years in God because they would rather believe bad news than good news. These folks were promised the good. That's what the gospel means. Good news. They did not believe the good news. And when it comes to Kadesh Barnea, when Moses sent out the 12 spies, 2 came back and said, we can do it. And 10 came back and said, we can't do it. And they cried all night saying, we can't do it, we can't do it. And God made a breach of his promise. He said, okay, because you said you won't get it and you can't do it, you won't. And sometimes, as we shared before, your will on earth, your will is stronger than God's will. There are only two wills, God's will and your will. And on earth, yours is more powerful than God. It's so powerful that if God wants to enter your heart, God comes and knocks at the door of your heart. It's up to you whether you open your heart to the Lord or you close your heart to God. God can't force his will on you. That's why we have to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because we allow God's will or we disallow God's will on the planet. Are you all right? So many times the promises of God, like here, God promised them a rest, and then God promised them, you'll not enter my rest. Now, when they left Egypt, God brought the 10 plagues. God said to them to paint the doorpost of their houses with the blood. They walked out of Egypt. They came to a Red Sea, and they had to dig out the Red Sea and got some pumps to pump out the water so they can walk through the Red Sea. And there were so many pumps, and yet the thing, hello? What did they do? Absolutely nothing. They didn't do anything, even though Pharaoh was the most powerful king, the most powerful kingdom on the planet at the time. God alone got them out. All they had to do was believe. All they had to do was believe. They walked out, they came to a Red Sea. What did God do? Go and get some paddles and get some swords. And get, swore is shovel. Get some shovel and shovel out the water. No, God opened the Red Sea. God alone did that. All they had to do was believe. God promised them a land. And God said, that's a land of rest. What would they have to do to enter the promise? Absolutely nothing. All they had to do was believe. The same thing God did in Egypt is the same thing God will do in Canaan. And all they had to do is believe to get out of Egypt. Now they think they can work themselves into Canaan. Many Christians know there's nothing you can do. God's work is finished on the cross of Calvary. All you have to do is enter in and believe. And whatever goes on, all you have to do is believe. That's all you have to do. And they didn't enter into their rest because of unbelief. Are you all right? Now, I want to detour for a little bit. I often make detours. And if you've been coming to church for some years, you'll know that every now and again I'll stop to answer some questions. Now, let me read on, and then I'll show you why somebody asked me that question, and then I'll try and answer the question. Let me read on. I said I'll read on and make some comments. And are you all right? Yes. Is this okay? Yes. If you don't agree, you can just go home or go over there, have a cup of tea, and wait for us. He says, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. I haven't got time to talk about from the foundation. The Bible talks about before the foundation and from the foundation. So some things were done before there was a foundation, and some things were done after there was a foundation. This was done after the foundation of the world. From the foundation, the works were finished. So God, as far as God's concerned, the rest is finished. We talk about that. God declares the end first from the beginning. Okay? So he says, it was from the foundation of the earth that the works of God were already established and finished. We still have to enter in, even though it's already done. You have to enter in. All right? Amen. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way. So he said, in this way he spoke of the seventh day. In what way? In the way of rest. In this way he spoke of a Sabbath rest. He said, there's going to be a rest. Hallelujah. And then he said, you won't enter my rest. And then he said, it's already finished from the foundation of the earth. And then he says, in the way he talks about this rest, the way he talks about the seventh day rest. So in the same way, he spoke of a seventh day. You got that? Are we okay? All right. And then in verse 5. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. So he talks about the rest and then no rest. Since therefore, verse 6, it remains that some must enter in, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. So it was preached to those in the first place. They didn't enter in because of disobedience. But some had to enter in. Why? Because those that started in Egypt, none of them got in. The people that were born in the wilderness, they got in with only two old fella. All right? You okay? Mr. Townsend and Mr. Robertson. All right? Joshua and Caleb. Those were the only two old men, the two men that started in Egypt and entered in. The rest did not enter in, but those that were born between Egypt and Canaan. All right? Now, this is an amazing thing. God said Canaan is rest. Did you know they never rested in Canaan? They had more wars in Canaan than in the wilderness. And yet God said, you're going to rest in Wanganui, because that's your destiny physically. When you find Wanganui, you will find your rest. So that means if you live in Martin or Auckland or Wellington or Kaponga or Pew Pew, and you're meant to live in Wanganui, you have no rest. If you're meant to live in Wanganui and you live in Wanganui, you have rest. Does that mean you don't work? No. But this is the land of rest for you. Even though when you get into the land, there is no rest. Are you okay? I mean, man, they came in. First thing they encountered was Jericho. They walk around Jericho Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They didn't stop for the seventh day. They just walk around. Hello? Are you guys all right? You make me nervous. Hallelujah. Since therefore it remains that some must enter in, and those whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Verse 7. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. So the funny thing is, David is now in the land of rest. So he's in the promised land. He's the king of Israel. And yet he said, God designates through David another day. What day? That day is today. Today. Not just them, today for them, but today for us. Today, if you will hear his voice, not tomorrow, not next year, today. Because you can't guarantee tomorrow. The only thing you have is today. You may live till tomorrow, but that it's a presumption to think that you're going to live tomorrow. It's arrogance for a human being to think, well, I'm going to be there tomorrow. Bless your darling heart and stupid head. You may be there tomorrow, but it's God's grace. It's God's mercy. You can't guarantee tomorrow, Because you need God for your very next breath. So whatever happens in your life for God, between you and God, has to happen today. If you're going to get to heaven, you have to make a decision today. Today, if you hear His voice. Now, David was saying this in the land of promise, the land of rest. Today, if you hear His voice, you don't say no, because you don't have any other day but today. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Verse 8. For if Joshua had given them rest. You find the word rest over and over and over again. It's talking about rest. Some people never rest. Even when they sleep at night, they never rest. Their minds never rest. Their minds are going 50 million directions at once. They're worried about this. They're worried about that. They're worried about tomorrow. They're worried about the kids. They're worried about the wedding. They're worried about the birthday. They're worried about the service. They're worried about this. They're worried about that. They're worried. Today, hello, rest. How many here today are worried about tomorrow? Only one honest person. Only one honest person. Are you all right? And now it says, when Joshua took them into the land of rest, Joshua did not give them that rest that they were looking for. So even in the land of rest, the land of promise, they didn't have the rest that they were meant to have. Otherwise, David would not have said about today. Why? Because David was in the land of rest. Are you all right? Okay. Verse 9. There remains therefore a rest for the... So there is a rest for the people of God. There's a rest for you today. And there's a rest for you after today. When you die, there's going to be rest. If you live on till the millennium, then you're going to have 1,000 years of rest, a Sabbath millennium. 1,000 years of rest. Have a smoker for. Hello? Rest. Hallelujah. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. So when you enter that rest, you cease from your own effort. All those who labor and are heavy laden, come unto me, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you will find rest for your souls. So you can find rest only in one person, and that person is Jesus Christ. And you can find rest for your soul today. Saint Augustine, that Professor Fogarty quoted last week. You know what he wrote? Our souls, our hearts are restless until we find our rest in Thee. So, in the New Testament, you have to enter into that rest. And when you die, you're going to enter into that rest. You will enter into that rest when you die, but you can rest right now. Hallelujah. Oh, but I have to work tomorrow. Just rest. He said, God finished his work. When did he say it is finished? Not in Eden. On the cross. When he said it's finished, it is finished. And when you enter into that rest, you will find rest for your souls. Hallelujah. Are you okay? I'll finish it next week. So don't forget to come next week. The best part of the sermon is next week. It's not the beginning, but the end. The Bible says greater is the end of a thing than its beginning. Salvation started at a manger. That was a beginning. But now salvation is all over the planet. A plantation starts with a seed. That's the beginning and ends with a harvest. So God always starts something that is less in the beginning and greater in the end. When you start roast, it's just a bit of beef and you put it in the oven, but at the end you have a meal. So come back next week. We're going to have a great time next week if you come back. If you don't, you'll miss out on the greatest blessing that you've had for the last week or so. Hallelujah. But on the cross of Calvary, Jesus said, "It's finished." And today, let me say this with all the kindness and the love in my heart. If you're not right with God, you can enter in. How? Through the cross of Calvary. The greatest place where you and I can enter in to the purposes of God. Life does not begin the day you were born. Life begins the day you find Christ. Life begins at the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. And God said to Moses, "I'm going to rearrange your calendar. This day is going to be the beginning of months. This day is going to be the start of your life." When is that day? The day of Passover. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you may know God as religious, you may know God, the God of the church, but you have no personal relationship with Jesus. Today, if you hear His voice, don't put it off till tomorrow, because you only have today. Get right with God. How do you do that? At the finished work of Christ on the cross. He said, "It's finished." And today, as we partake, open your heart to Jesus and say, "Lord, I want to give you my life. I've tried to run my own life and I haven't rested because of my own self-effort. Help me to cease from my self-effort and enter into your rest." Today, let it be the beginning of the rest of your life. Can I have those ministering the emblems to come? God died on a tree. It's a Christmas tree. It's a symbol. Christmas tree has no life in it. But we decorate a Christmas tree. Make it an evergreen tree. We decorate it with gifts. And those gifts are given in love. The greatest gift God ever gave came hanging on a tree. God ornaments our lives. God decorates our lives. Because God died on Calvary, hanging on a tree. The greatest gift you can ever receive on Christmas is the gift of God that came hanging on a tree. You know, to decorate a Christmas tree, you know, to give gifts, God gave the greatest gift of all. It was an extravagant gift. You want to be extravagant when you give your gifts. You want to wrap them up nicely because you wrap them up nicely to express your love. The wrapping is not the gift. The gift is inside the wrapping. The Bible says we have this gift, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. God wraps up the gift in His love. It's an expression of His love. Even though the gift is not the wrapping, He still wraps it up so well. The same thing that you do. The little bow on the wrapping outside is not the gift. The wrapping is not the gift. The gift is inside, but it's decorated with love. Let us this Christmas realize, as the children this morning performance, as their performance tell us, don't forget the reason for the season. Don't forget, it's about Jesus Christ. It's about the work of the cross. It's about the love of God. And it's about our redemption. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth. Hallelujah. And if you're here this morning, you don't know Christ, or maybe you're here this morning, you know Christ, but you know you're not in that place where the relationship with Jesus is appropriated. As we heard this morning, God may promise, but the promise will not profit us unless we appropriate it by faith. Can you stand with me? You might never have another opportunity. All we have is today. But today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. If that's you, you need to get right with God. Or maybe you don't want to say for the first time, God, I'll trust my future in You. This Christmas season, I give You my life. If that is you, can you lift your hand up? Because I'd love to pray for you before we have communion. God bless you there. Anybody else? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you back there. Back there. Let's close your eyes. Father, I pray for these dear ones that lifted their hands today. And Lord, that You will touch their lives even as they have reached out to You, because You've reached down to them. I pray to God that their hearts will be established, that just by faith alone, trusting in You, that You will come down and dwell and live in them and bless their lives and direct them and give them hope, that they will find rest for their souls in knowing You. Lord Jesus, we thank You that while we were yet sinners, You died on the cross of Calvary for us, and You pronounced that Your works are finished, that we can enter into the finished works of Calvary and what You've done, that we can know the power of Your blood that cleanses us from all sin. Wipe away every sin that we have done and everything that we have thought that was unclean and unrighteous. We stand in Your presence to be washed afresh, especially for those whose hands were uplifted this morning. Father, bless us today as we eat and drink, that in the quiet corridors of our own heart, You will invade our lives as You invaded the planet when You came, that in the midst of all the hostility, no one could stop the birth of the Savior. And amidst all the turmoil of the world, no one can stop a heart that is reaching out to you from being born again. Father, we bless you this morning. You are a good God. We bless you and honor you, Lord. Hallelujah. We give you glory. Just thank God for the communion. Thank God for Calvary. Thank God for the cross. Father, we pray for these emblems that we are about to partake. Lord, that they represent to us, Lord God, truly what they stand for as we imbibe of the finished work of Calvary. Lord, bless our lives, I pray, as we eat and drink today in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's eat and drink.